The gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26, and that is found on page 1598 in your pew Bible. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Dear God, give us generous hearts and a broad vision that we may welcome the movement of your Spirit into our lives, even and especially when it takes an unexpected shape and comes from unexpected people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, in my early 20s, when I was more willing to risk permanent hearing loss, I went to a lot of concerts, rock bands. And there was a venue about 30 miles from our house, about 30 minutes from our house. And my buddies and I pretty much would go see whoever was coming through town. Now, this venue was not a place that you would go see the opera. And the people who went to these shows were not opera goers. This was a venue with no seats, okay? And when you got in there, everybody was like packed on the floor like sardines in a can, ready to see their band, ready to get their ears blown out and rock out and sweat off a few pounds in the process. Now, one of the things about going to these kinds of shows was that sometimes you'd go to these shows and you didn't really want to see the opening band, right? Oh man, I don't want to see them. They're terrible. I just want to see the band I paid to see, right? And so you'd show up late. But inevitably, everybody else who wanted to see the band you wanted to see was already there. And they were packed in there. And to get in, you had to get a good spot to see the band. You kind of had to work your elbows a little bit. You had to push through the crowd and weave through in order to get a good spot. My brother and I, after many, many concerts, got this down to a science, where we would get in there and we would know, we'd go, "Oh, okay, right there, right there, okay, here we go." And then we would just go, follow each other until we got to the spot we wanted to get to see the band we were there to see. Now, inevitably, as you were going through this crowd, there was always a spot where you couldn't go any further. They were packed too tight. There's no way we're going to get any closer to the stage than this, because this is as close as we're going to get. They're tight. There's no pushing our way through, no weaving, no elbowing that's going to happen. This is where we're going to have to stay and watch the show. Now, it's these concert venues, this experience that I had going, that I think about when I think about this passage from Luke chapter 5, right? We're told that the room is so crowded that people on the outside can't get in. There are too many Pharisees crowding into the room. They were all anxious to see Jesus. And they're there, and there's no way you're going to get in. They're keeping people out from seeing Jesus, from experiencing the grace, the healing of Christ. There's no pushing or weaving their way through this crowd. Now, Jesus has the power to heal. We all know that. But the multitude around him prevents anyone from the outside to approach him. And the story tells us about this one of these men, a paralyzed man who couldn't walk, who was confined permanently to a bed, a prisoner in his own body. Dear, and then there were these four men who were carrying him on a mat, one holding each corner. And they try to reach Jesus in this packed house, but they can't. And instead of giving up, instead of going home, putting this paralyzed man back onto his mat in his house, they say, "Oh no, we need to get creative. We need to start using our imagination like we were taught in second grade." Commentator Justo Gonzalez says that if there is no way through the door and the window offers only a glimpse of Jesus, imagination finds its own way through the roof. The men break their way into Jesus' inner circle as he's surrounded by all these Pharisees. By making a new path, they climb the roof. Four capable men, they start removing tiles. Can you imagine in your house? What are you doing? Oh my gosh! This is not some, you know, dried mud house that most people in Israel lived in. This is a rich man's house. He's got tiles. And they start removing the tiles off the roof. And then they carry this. I don't even know how they did this. One of them must have had him on his back. They carry him onto the roof. And they lower him down to the center, nearest to Jesus, than even the Pharisees are. And Jesus, amazed by the sign of faithfulness, forgives the man of his sins, heals him, surprising and infuriating the Pharisees gathered. Now, this story offers us some really interesting insights into hospitality. First, the thing that I think offers is that for whatever reason, we get in our own way. We fail to see the opportunity to practice spirituality. Maybe it's we're too busy. Maybe it's we're too consumed with the people that we're already surrounding, that already surround us in our church. But for whatever reason, we seem at times to miss the opportunity to practice hospitality. Think about the Pharisees, right? These are men who were the religious leaders of the community. These were the moral leaders. They were supposed to model what Christ, what God's love was like. They were like the pastors of their day. They were supposed to be an example. And yet somehow all these good religious men did not see the paralyzed man outside trying to get in. They missed it. Maybe they were looking at Jesus. Maybe they were thinking about something else. Maybe they just, whatever reason, they missed it. And sometimes in our lives, our busyness gets in the way of practicing spirituality, putting someone else's needs, hospitality, practicing putting our needs in front of someone else, in front of our own. That's the idea here, is that sometimes we miss this like the Pharisees did. Second, hospitality is a commitment to one another. These four men who were paralyzed, who carrying the paralyzed man, could have squeezed and elbowed their own way through the crowded house. They were capable, probably, if they individually wanted to get into that house and be near Jesus. But there was no way that they were going to carry a man who was paralyzed on a mat into this house. They could have found a way. They could have found a spot. But that would have required them to leave the man, the paralyzed man, behind. These men were not concerned with their own position, their own needs. They placed the paralyzed man ahead of themselves so that he might be healed. This meant doing something out of the ordinary, something risky. Hospitality often requires imagination. It's not always clear how we can welcome the stranger or care for the needs of those around us. Roadblocks, obstacles appear to be so overwhelming, we give up before we begin. How are we going to pay for it? How will we organize it? Who will have the energy to help? Limitations, however daunting, are not always a bad thing. They force us to look for new ways to welcome, new ways to help those in need. Yesterday, we started a new program with the service out of Dayton called Capabilities. They called a couple weeks ago and had asked that, would we be willing to be a training site for someone who's disabled in your county to come and help learn a skill here in this church? Secretary work, clerical work, whatever work needs to be done. And when they called, Ray Jean said, this is what they're offering. You want to talk to her? I said, yes. I had a conversation with her. I put her on hold. I went to Ray Jean. I said, Ray Jean, I would love to do this. However, you're going to be the one who's going to be probably working with them the most. And I said, are you okay with that? And Ray Jean goes, absolutely, let's do it. And so yesterday, or Friday, was our first day with a young man named Justin, who is paralyzed, and yet came here and did work. Clerical work, got trained. He's going to be with us for probably about a week. And I think about what that means for our church and thinking about ways that we were able to open our doors and the opportunities we were able to offer for someone who is disabled, right? Our mission study that we presented last week talked about how we might extend hospitality. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's a little risky because it requires an investment. We talked about an elevator that would help us get easier from Persinger Hall to the first floor and even to the second floor. We talked about another handicap entrance so that people can get into the parlor so that they can also enjoy fellowship without having to go all the way through the sanctuary and around to get to the parlor. We talked about these things as a vision for who we can be so that we can open our doors wider for all those who want to experience God's grace in this place. And even more, so that we can welcome even more of our community here to use our building. That is a dream that we have. An idea of lowering the paralyzed man down into see Jesus. In practicing hospitality, we are also blessed. We don't know how long the men knew this paralyzed man, right? They don't tell us. We don't know if they were friends or family or just neighbors, or they just saw this guy. But in their tenacity and in their solidarity with the paralyzed man, they were given the gift of seeing God's power and grace before their very eyes. Jesus said, "Get up off your mat and walk." Seeing this miracle makes everyone, including the Pharisees, stand up and glorify God, filling them with amazement and awe. No one cares about that hole in the roof because they just witnessed something amazing, something miraculous, something you didn't see every day. A miracle made possible by these faithful risk takers who didn't let a crowded room get in the way of getting near Jesus. So as we begin our stewardship campaign, Rooted in the Vine, I am calling each and every one of you to also be a faithful risk taker, especially in practicing hospitality. God has given us this vision for how we might continue to welcome all people, no matter their physical condition, to experience God's grace. So make a commitment to this church with your mind, body, and soul. Give what you can so that this church can open its doors even wider than it already has, so that more people may come here and experience God's love and grace, so that we may even further practice hospitality to everyone in this community and beyond. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen.